This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Friday, 18th of June, 2021. It's been a while since I've seen market action here that is saying a lot, or trying to say a lot. We'll have to see if we can interpret what it is it's saying. But lots of things moving and shaking in different directions. I think one of the overall narratives or ideas I would put out there is that we're seeing quite a poke at a lot of background consensus plays here on the back of this Fed meeting, where we're seeing everything from interest rates, longer interest rates suddenly under pressure, yield curves flattening. We have commodities coming down, dollar going up, yen going up, and yeah, I think this is just an adjustment in the market. It's not saying anything necessarily about the long term, but maybe these lack of performance in some of these trades, and now an FOMC prod is seeing quite an unwind. But a very interesting day yesterday, Peter, because we have, you would think, oh, the Fed's getting serious about, you know, showing some credibility on tightening when tightening is called for and this inflation spike. So we've sort of maintained where we are and those Fed expectations being brought forward on the back of this FOMC meeting. But the longer end of the curve, we saw a lot of support yesterday and even 30 years rallying to a new cycle low in yields. So that's a very different signal. And that yield, that interest rate sensitivity, once again, on massive display in the NASDAQ 100, which ripped back higher to a new all-time close. What else are you seeing here? And I've got a couple, a slide as well. But what else are you seeing in some of the baskets and some of the internals, which I think is the really interesting discussion here?
Yeah, so we talked about yesterday that the Bank of America survey indicated that, you know, around three-fourths of all professional investors are in the transitory camp. Judging from yesterday's performance, I would say in the equities land, it's probably even higher or even more skewed toward the transitory, because you can see this month, I mean, bubble stocks are up 6%. All the interest rate sensitivity things are rallying, and that happened yesterday as well. And you have the commodity sector, which is on a back burner. I think we'll talk more about that. I think we had the worst single day performance in our commodity sector basket yesterday. You can see on slide two, you can see all the different performances, and it was basically a split market yesterday. And there's so many things going on. I mean, I know you have a chart on the transportation index, John, but we noted prior going into this podcast that, you know, Caterpillar, which is a leverage play on the commodity boom, is down 15% in only 9 trading days. So it seems like a lot of positionings are being unwound here. And because it's not like a Caterpillar is expensive, it's trading at around 5% free cash flow yield. So it's definitely not an expensive company. And the outlook is quite good. What I find odd is that, why is green transformation not you know, rallying more? Because if the equity market is buying into the low interest rates, that should be hugely good for the green transformation. And with all the government backing, which is basically underpinning demand for green technologies, I find that a little bit odd. So I think there's a lot of confused signals in the market. And just finally, John, because I don't have a chart on it, but I just want to mention, I think it's very interesting to see China being explicit in the media today, Chinese regulators asking or demanding that the Meituan CEO, Meituan is this fast-growing e-commerce company in China, demanding the CEO to keep a low profile in the public. I think that's very interesting, because a lot of things is going on in the Chinese technology sector. We have noted that it's very cheap. Foreign investors are not fully buying into it yet. We need the news flow to be more positive. But a lot of things in China are set behind the curtains, but that they go out explicitly telling a public CEO, one of the largest companies in the emerging markets in China, I think it's a very strong signal. And we have flagged China. A lot of things are going on in China these days. And this is definitely not one of the most positive things if you're an equity investor.
Yeah, and just to round out what you said there, on slide three, those that follow Dow Theory since time immemorial, since I guess it's going on 100 years, this has been an idea, Dow Theory. In other words, the transportation leads. If that's the idea, then we need to be a little bit worried here. A lot of this is, again, themes based on the direction of interest rates, but still on slide three, note that quite strong weakness. And then yesterday being a terrible day, actually for this index. And then likewise in the financials, because you're getting the opposite signal. What's good for financials, which would be more yield curve steepening. Instead, we got a flattening, and quite an ugly day there. But Ola, we need to get over your space, because we have pretty broad, I don't know if it's universal, but nearly Universal selling off, and a lot of commodities anyway. Is this just a bit of unwinding on the investment side of things more than fundamentals, I guess?
I think the short answer is yes. let's move on to the next slide now. Slide seven, you can just see this has been a horrible week for the commodity sector. It's basically, we're heading for the worst week since the peak of the pandemic panic last March. And you can see all commodities are down in a week, led by grains and precious metals. Even some like crude oil, where really there's fundamentals are strong, demand is improving, OPEC plus keeping supplies tight. Also, crude oil went into some profit taking. So, it is a deflation of the reflation trade that we are seeing right now, and that just highlights once again that the market is not purely. At least in the short term, not purely just based on fundamentals. It's also based on momentum, based on the outside factors. And one of the big overriding factors that has supported commodities this past 6 months is the worries about inflation. And I think the jury is still out. Central banks obviously putting oil on the water this week. Break-even yields, the 10-year tenor is down 25 basis points. So obviously inflation is being priced out of the market. Going forward, we seriously doubt that that's going to be the case. But at least it has triggered a bit of a rethink in the market, and perhaps potentially if something like copper, which is more than doubled, is probably a healthy correction, because we know that the demand will continue to be going up over the coming years. So fundamentally, it's still in a very strong position. But at least for now, we're just letting some steam out of the market. And One sector that really took received a lot of attention was this massive knockdown in the gold and silver prices. On slide eight, you can see here the severity of the sell-off. It took us a couple of months to rally from the lows in late March, and it took us a week to offset around that 61.8%. Of that whole rally. That is a key Fibonacci level. So this is really where this is what you can almost call the line in the sand. So 1770 on gold, and 2575, I believe it's around that area on silver. These levels really needs to hold. Otherwise, we are potentially facing a near-term future where the recent lows could be revisited. So an interesting period we're facing here. And a minute, if I just finish off, if reflation was the reason why we, or deflation of the reflation trade is the reason why we're coming down, then obviously we need several months of data going forward in order for the market maybe to readjust their expectations for inflation. So we could potentially have a bit of a hot summer in the markets over the coming months here.
Yeah, and you mentioned the last Fibonacci there and some of the correlated charts in FX. We see similar levels under pressure, and even in some pairs giving way here. So it's a big focus theme-wise. Something like gold. But before I cover FX, just to recap a little bit, because it's a key to what's going on in FX, the nature of what happened in the fixed income market, and I think, again, what's poking a little bit at recent consensus expectations. And you can see that on slide four. So we have pretty much this reaction to the Fed's guidance at the FOMC meeting, more or less sticking. We continued to lower in yesterday's trade. In other words, if something like the December 22 Eurodollar short-term interest rate future, the lower it goes, the more Fed rate hiking is indicating. We've bounced a tiny bit yesterday, but more or less the move has 95% stuck. But if you look at something like the 10-year treasuries, again, as noted, you look at the futures, it looks like just a modest rally yesterday, but misleading, because I actually was initially looking at a benchmark index, and the move, the reversal looked far more powerful. I couldn't get those two to jibe. And then I looked over at pulled up a chart on a 2031 treasury, an actual instrument rather than a benchmark, rather than a future. And you can see on that lower bit there, that lower chart on the right on slide four, that the reversal is pretty profound and has more or less erased the entire move on the back of the FOMC. So quite a rejection there. Goes against what I said, what looked like to my mind as, technically as a decisive a reversal on the back of the open scene has now been reversed, at least to some degree. So really watching for what happens next there. I think it's really key. And what is driving the biggest new move in FX, and that is yen strength. So you can see that very clearly on slide five. It's something I've been kind of looking at for a couple of months now, where the yen was getting unfairly punished. Overnight CPI out of Japan slightly higher than expected, but we're talking about a core CPI at 0.1% positive when you're posting these crazy levels in the U.S. So inflation, real yields therefore look very attractive. So when the longer yields in the U.S. come down, the Fed speaks a little bit more credibly. It's a massive boost on the fundamental side for the yen. Something like euro yen, which I'm showing here on slide five, bit surprised it hadn't reacted a bit more positively, the Japanese yen, when bund yields sort of failed to break free and rise. But here we have a big move, and I wonder if this could continue for a bit here. I'm not talking about a massive new downtrend, but something clearly has caught the market by surprise here. And I think that we could see some continued weakness there back towards the 200-day moving average, even down well below 130. Other pairs like Aussie yen, sterling yen are quite interesting as well. And then looking at the trend levels in FX on slide six, our usual overview, of course, the dollar trend picking up massively, yen going well into positive, and I highlight that and look at the momentum. It's seen the biggest momentum shift here. And then highlighting Aussie dollar, where we said, or where we've noted this semi head and shoulders like formation. We've poked into that. We've poked below the 200-day moving average. The move does look extremely sharp. I wonder if we could see a bit of backfilling, but it's going to take quite some doing if this is supposed to reverse in the near term. So we've set something in motion here. It's quite interesting. But speaking of setting things in motion, I imagine that Peter, on the back of a solid move lower in long yields, something like Adobe, which reported last night, I think you said it had quite positive earnings. It must be it's a Goldilocks for that stock. But what are we looking up? What are we looking for next week with earnings?
Yeah, Adobe earnings were quite good, very solid, and as you rightly say, I mean, low interest rates is really good for Adobe. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that very shortly at a new all-time high. Next week, we have only very few earnings, as you can see here, only eight on the menu, at least of
five,
those.
Nine.
Of those we track, and. But we're only a few weeks away from the end of Q2. So when in a little bit less than a month, we'll begin having a lot of earnings rolling in, and we'll get a clear picture of whether companies will raise their outlook and or even just reiterate their very, very strong momentum that we already saw in Q1, even on a quarter-to-quarter basis. But next week, Thursday, we have Nike and FedEx. Nike, interesting because of the debacle together with Hinton Mauritz and other retailers in China over cotton issues. And in general, Nike should benefit from the opening across a lot of different countries. So we'll key to watch that company. And then FedEx, obviously, being one of the largest logistics companies in the world, and the logistics being the best theme basket we have outside the land of crypto, which I've said so many times, it's so volatile that it will always either be one of the worst or the best theme basket. So I like to often exclude that when we talk performance in equity markets, and logistics is the best one. So we'll be watching FedEx on that. And then on Friday, given all the talk about used car prices in the US just going ballistic for a lot of technical reasons, I think it could be worthwhile listening into CarMax, which is a dealer in the US, and listen to what they say about the overall status in the car market in the US.
Okay, and that takes us to today's calendar. Do note, and it's something we maybe should have flagged, it's something that happens every quarter, we have the witching or the expiry of all manner of options, futures, and options on futures, and all the financial related futures, especially treasuries, et cetera, euro dollar contracts, blah, blah, today. So be aware of that. The volatility is could be a little bit enhanced because of the combination of that FOMC and then the hedging around these options, especially into the their expiry today. And then as well, with this likely in connection with the Fed's 5 basis point increase to its interest on excess reserves, we have this Fed reverse repo facility ballooning 45% in one day to $756 billion. Some of it as well, likely banks looking to reduce their balance sheet size for regulatory reasons into quarter end, which is still some time off. Where could this thing go? And again, just another sign out there of the incredible liquidity, dollar liquidity in the U.S. So it's interesting to see the dollar is doing so well despite all of that. But looking ahead to next week, I won't mention much here because there's not a whole lot going on. But we have Fed Chair Powell out testifying before. I'm forgetting what the context is. One of the congressional panels. Hungary central bank decision, the first rate hike in Europe coming up. They better do it quite large if they're going to impress the market, which is largely unwound. Actually, the premium you saw for the forint on the back of their indication that they're finally going to hike rates in the wake of such huge inflationary pressures in Hungary. And then we get the flash PMIs for June out of Europe on Wednesday. And finally, the big one, the big kahuna next week will be the US PC inflation data on Friday as we look for potential multi-decade highs in the core PCE inflation readings. I think it's going to be an interesting few sessions ahead. We've really set a lot of volatility in motion. Let's see if it continues to balloon or pulls back in a bit here in a setup for next week's trading. In any case, have a very safe weekend. Enjoy the football if you're in Europe or wherever you are. And we'll be back next week with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.